The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The US blockade of Iranian ports is in place now, with Donald Trump threatening to eliminate Tehran's fast attack vessels if they come near American warships. The Iranian president has also said that threatening the strait will have widespread consequences for the world. I'm joined now by Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University, Paul Rogers. You're welcome to the programme, Paul.
Good morning.
And this US blockade, which came into effect yesterday afternoon, I see in the last hour, China has come out and said that the blockade around Iranian ports is dangerous and irresponsible. China is a huge player in this entire conflict, isn't it?
It is. And there's another report which isn't confirmed yet that a Chinese ship has actually come through the strait and has not been intercepted by the American Navy, at least not as yet. Even though I believe it was one which you would expect the Americans to actually try and prevent through. So we simply don't know what's happening there. But of course, it does mean there's a much greater tension around, really, across the whole scene.
Well, what does that tell you if they did allow the, if the Americans allowed the Chinese through, there must be some limit to the action that they're willing to take?
Well, there may be. And I think one of the problems is you're getting two different voices coming from within the senior realms of the Trump administration. As Trump himself, who seems to play almost sort of shooting from the hip and plays it very hard on occasions, but is hugely unpredictable. But then you have essentially J.D. Vance, the vice president, who seems to be taking a more cautious view. And right from the start of the conflict with Iran, he has really stayed more in the background and said very little, although it did become very prominent, of course, when we had the start of the negotiations a week or so ago. So it may well be that there are conflicting orders coming through from the center, or at least uncertainty. There's certainly uncertainty. There's no doubt about that. Where that leaves us, sorry.
J.D. Vance being sent there, and I know some welcomed him entering the fray because he was seen as having a more moderate view of where this might go. But then he was widely ridiculed back at home, led by the Democrats. Of course, this is all political. But he had that situation with Viktor Orban, where he went to Hungary, said he was the best man for the job. He gets beaten by a landslide. Then he goes to Islamabad and walks away with no deal. Do you think that he is the right person for the Americans to send to try and sort this out?
Given the group within the Trump administration, he was probably better than just sending Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, who are the normal people who go to these kinds of things, even though they have no real diplomatic experience and certainly are not sort of negotiators in this kind of area. So to that extent, he was probably the more appropriate person. But yes, I agree entirely with you on this issue of what happened with Orban. As far as what happened essentially in Islamabad, well, there seems to have been one bout of negotiations which went on for the best part of 20 hours, and that was it. And since then, both the Iranians and people, if it's not actually J.D. Vance himself, then it's somebody close to him, is saying there's still chance of further negotiations. So even there, we're getting sort of mixed messages. It would be almost impossible, one would think, for them to have got a deal in 20 hours of negotiations flat out, because this is a complex situation and we're dealing with sort of decades of history. And it takes a lot of skill, probably several days with really good mediators to bring sides together. So it was a false expectation that you're going to get an immediate clear breakthrough. But behind all of this, all the time, you have these different angles coming from different parts of the administration, made even more extraordinary by this event in which Trump seems to have put online this picture of himself, who was almost sort of aping a biblical figure, possibly Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where we are is difficult to say.
All playing to Donald Trump's base, there is an element of the clock ticking on both sides here, because the Iranians won't be able to survive without their oil money. But Donald Trump really has to wrap this up quickly, because, first of all, you have his commitment not to become involved in foreign wars, but also this big problem he's facing when it comes to the price of gas and other goods in the United States. This needs to end for him to be able to get the Republicans through the midterms with any sort of measure of success.
That seems to be the case. I mean, the real problem with all of this is the Iranians have been far more effective in defending their own position than almost anybody expected. You know, the Iranians are still able to fire missiles almost at will. They've taken huge civilian casualties. They've had billions of dollars of damage done to the economy. And it's also true that the hardliners who are really running the show now are playing it very tough in terms of internal dissent. And it's more difficult for people who may be moderates within Iran. So you've got that complexity as well. Overall, what it means is that the chances of making real progress are slim, but they haven't disappeared. And I think the latest indication is that the Pakistanis, who've been trying to play this bring-together game, have actually put a tentative invite out for people to meet again before the expiration of this first 2 weeks of a pause. If that actually happens and there's any kind of meeting in the next 2 or 3 days, and it's pretty well as close as that, or an indication there's going to be a meeting, then we may be sort of slightly out of the woods. But you do have this complication of what they've gone and done in terms of this sort of counter-blockade blockade. And if that goes wrong, then we are in difficulties.
Mm-hmm. But you will know, as other experts who've watched Iran and the United States over the years, it takes not days or hours, it takes months and years to do any sort of deal with Iran. Is it just too much to expect that this can be sorted out quickly?
Well, both sides have an interest in it. I mean, certainly the Americans under Trump, they really are in difficulty because basically the Iranians have not sort of capitulated at all as they were expected to do. So they're in some difficulty. The Iranians, yes, particularly with the blockade, it's going to be difficult for them pretty quickly, but they can probably survive weeks or possibly even months. But of course, what we're not talking about here repeatedly is the position of the Israelis under Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as Netanyahu is concerned, he needs this war to continue. He wants to see Iran as hugely damaged as can be. And that does not fit in now with what at least some people in the Trump administration are saying and beginning to think seriously.
Was it a huge miscalculation on
yes.
Donald Trump's part to do this?
It was. It was from the start. And I mean, he was warned by many people, including privately, we believe, J.D. Vance, who from the start has been more cautious. So this is where we are now. At a time like this, there's one thing you always had to remember. There's an acronym, AIM or A-I-M, and that stands for Accidents, Incidents, and Mavericks. The kinds of unplanned events when you have two sides at loggerheads which spill things more. And that's one of the things to watch at present. You do not want that kind of happening at this time, given what the game is and what we're all playing for.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that post that Donald Trump reposted of himself. It looked as though he saw himself as being Jesus, only for the short time that he put it up online, and then he removed it when clearly the criticism came in from the Catholic groups that support him. I mean, there are those who see this as a sideline issue, but coupled with the row that he has ignited with Pope Leo, is that quite serious for him in terms of his support base, do you think?
It probably is. I mean, essentially, Trump's support base tends to stem primarily from on the Christian side, from the religious side, from the Christian Zionists and the evangelical Protestants. So that is the main base. But he does also have a base among conservative Catholics. And I think they are hugely offended by this. But it seems to go right across the Christian communities in the United States. It's getting flack for a number of different causes. It was a huge miscalculation on his part, at the very least. And the real worry is, you know, how is his mind working? Where can he even think of putting this up at this time? Putting up any time, but now it seems quite extraordinary.
It certainly does. Paul, thank you very much. That's Paul Rogers there from the Bradford University.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.